So this is either an Arrested Development podcast now, or it's a Europe podcast. I'm not sure.
Introducing a magician named Gob. Right.
I just see Job every time now. Hey, it's the Evil Little Goats podcast. There are so many now, I've lost track already. Is this six?
This is six.
Six already.
Yep.
Wow.
We're growing up so fast.
Feels like just a few weeks ago we started this thing.
I think it was just a few weeks ago.
Anyways, it's a unofficial Pearl Jam fan podcast done by fans for you other weirdo fans like us.
Yes, and that was, of course, Europe with the Final Countdown, and the connection there is the glorious "The Countdown is On." That was the subject of the email sent out by Pearl Jam on July 1st.
And you confused me when you invited me to their Facebook page because it was like this big come to this event thing. And I thought, well, it must be some sort of a thing that I'll need to attend. But no, it was just the countdown itself.
The countdown itself. And it was tricky because it was actually located in Edmonton, Alberta.
Right.
Or Calgary. I don't know about Canada very well. It's Calgary's.
Sure.
It was in Canada. It was located in Canada.
We're very particular with our facts.
We're very geographic over here.
Yes.
But no, it was the location was in Canada, so it was kind of confusing. Like, what are they going to announce? What's going on? I just wanted you to be aware there was a countdown happening.
Yes.
And so that something was going on.
I bought in, and we found out today what that was.
Yeah, tour dates. It's so exciting. Like, how are you feeling? I'm like, all day I have been jazzed. I've been figuring out how I can go to the shows I want to go to, how many shows I'm going to go to, how I'm going to get there, how I'm going to pay for it, what I'm going to do when I get there, what the posters are going to look like, what the set lists are going to be. Like, I have had all these awesome thoughts in my head, like, oh my God, Pearl Jam's on tour.
You're such a better fan than I am. Look, I love these guys, and I feel bad because I keep turning into the guy that just poops on their parade. But I'm looking through the list. I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, uh-huh, sure, sure. And then I was thinking, well, where's Seattle? Of course, they're going to wrap things up. They'll come home to Key Arena.
Well, I don't understand. See, Key Arena gets a very bad rap, I think.
Because it sounds like poop.
Speaking as a music journalist who's covered probably more than 100 shows at Key Arena, I've only seen two or three really bad, like, sounding events. The last time you saw the band at the Key, did they sound bad? I don't think they sounded bad.
No, it sounded all right.
I mean, the thing is, like, they've really just, the people who operate Key Arena have figured out how to work that room. And most of the bands that they bring in, the artists they bring in their own sound crews. And these are people that are professionals that know how to operate a board for a band. They know what the band needs to sound like. They know how big the room is. And I mean, it's not like it's a room like the Showbox Soto, which gets a really bad reputation.
I haven't been there yet.
It's a wood. It's like a wooden concrete barn.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of bands sound like shit in that place. But when you get it right, they sound spectacular.
Okay.
So, but Key Arena is, I mean, you're gonna get the same sound, I think, at Key Arena that you would get at Tacoma Dome. All the people who are crapping on Key Arena and thinking that it would be better if they played elsewhere in Seattle, where else are they gonna play? Tacoma Dome. Tacoma Dome is gonna be even worse. Worse traffic. It's gonna be possibly worse sound. Worse smell, because it's in Tacoma.
It's Tacoma, yeah.
You know, so it's just...
Plus you'll get shot.
Yeah, there's a possibility of being shot. So,
I went through the list in my head, and I thought, well, I saw a great show at the WAMU Theater. Okay, it only holds at most like 7,000 people. So that's not going to work unless they're going to do a week-long, you know, this week with Pearl Jam every night. But what about, if you're going to play Wrigley, why not try for Safeco Field?
See, I think that I don't know if that was something the band ever wanted to do. You know, Eddie's the big Cubs fan, and and that's why they're playing Wrigley. It's something he's wanted to do for a very long time. But I agree with you. Why not play Safeco?
Give the people what they want, man.
You know, the same night they're playing Wrigley at Safeco, Paul McCartney's performing at Safeco. Exact same night.
Right, right, yeah.
Which is awesome, because I'm gonna be watching Paul McCartney. That's the only thing that makes me feel good about not going to Chicago, is that I'm going to actually get to see, like, kick Paul McCartney off my bucket list.
Yeah.
So,
well, you would have otherwise gone to Chicago for the
no.
show? Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I don't have the financial means. I really respect a lot of all the fans that can do that can travel and follow the band.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, on Record Store Day, I was in line at Easy Street in West Seattle, and Mike was doing a signing for the Mad Season reissue. So mm-hmm. there were a lot of Pearl Jam fans in line.
Right.
And I was talking with the folks, some of the fans, and they were like, are you going to Wrigley? And they gave me this look like, why aren't you going to Wrigley?
Right. You're not.
You're not a fan. Why can't? Why aren't you going?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, I just can't drop everything and spend like, you know, $500 on airfare or whatever and get a hotel.
Plus the ticket cost.
And plus the ticket cost. Yeah. You know, like I personally cannot do that. So yeah. I'm gonna wait for Pearl Jam to come to my town.
But see, this kind of gets back to what I think we were talking about an episode or two ago of we have expectations, things we want from them. They are a business. They need to run it, you know, the way they need to or whatever. But there's things like this where I think they are disconnected from the fan enough to hear, you know, as a person in Seattle who can't afford to get on a plane and go to Wrigley, I appreciate that Eddie's a Cubs fan and all that, but Seattle's your hometown. We made you who you are. Give us Safeco Field. Don't give us Key Arena. We've seen Key Arena. I even was going like, okay, Memorial Stadium. Well, okay, it's December. You can't be outside.
Yeah.
Safeco's got a roof. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, it'd be fucking cold, though.
But it would be awesome.
It would be pretty awesome.
Because they, I guarantee, would sell that thing out.
Maybe next year. Maybe they'll do a summer tour. The thing is, with this tour...
We won't see them for 3 years again.
Well, with this tour, see, they're hitting... I've thought about that. I've thought about, is this going to be the last time I'm really going to get to go all out and see Pearl Jam? Because, you know, we're getting up there in the years.
Sure.
And you know, I'm not going to be able to drop everything and see Pearl Jam.
Plus the back pain.
Yeah, of course.
Let's face
the back pain. Jeez. I mean, I'm planning on going to Seattle twice because they haven't announced a December 7th show yet.
But there's
strong rumors that there will be. Someone even told me that it was listed on Ticketmaster and got yanked. So I assume there will be a December 7th show. There is a December 6th show. I really plan on going on December 4th to Vancouver, BC to see them. And then I want to go November 29th to see them in Portland.
Wow.
I almost thought about going to see them, and I was considering going to see them in Spokane on November 30th.
I was thinking about that too.
But the Portland to Spokane trip,
I couldn't
do it.
Yeah.
Back to back. And Portland's closer to Seattle than Spokane.
Yeah.
It's a bigger city, tax free. So you get your beer for cheap.
True.
Or cheaper.
Plus Portland beer.
There's good beer in Portland. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And Voodoo Donuts.
I have had a Voodoo Donut.
Yeah. So, there's like, I plan on doing that. That'll be four Pearl Jam shows.
Wow.
To make up for the last 3 years. Well, actually the last 1,386 days since I've seen Pearl Jam perform in Seattle. Didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
I counted.
Wow.
That's how many days it's been since Pearl Jam's last Seattle concert.
That's hardcore.
From today.
And that was Key Arena. That was with Ben Harper,
That was Ben Harper and the Real and Seven.
That was the Backspacer tour.
Yeah, okay, Backspacer, good. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go. I will go, and I will love it, and I will probably cry like a little girl.
Well, I think that they're going to – I mean, I really have strong feelings that they're going to come back in the summer. I mean, because this tour, they're doing East Coast. They're not hitting the South. They're not hitting Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Yeah. They're not hitting the Southern states. They're not hitting the Midwest. They're playing Wrigley. But they're not hitting, like, St. Louis. They're not playing Louisiana. They're not playing – well, they're playing Voodoo Fest. But they're not playing the Kansas City or, you know, they're not playing those Midwest states.
Yeah.
But then they're coming back, and they're hitting – L.A. and Oakland and Portland and Seattle and Vancouver, B.C.
Yeah.
So they're doing an East Coast, West Coast tour. They aren't doing the middle of the country. So
true.
I think next summer
they'll
do the middle of the country. And that might include maybe they'll do a ballpark tour. Maybe they'll play multiple ballparks.
See, that would be so cool.
But they
can't in the summer.
Well, they can. They can schedule
tricky.
It around MLB schedule.
Yeah, it'd be very
like they're
tricky.
Like they're playing Wrigley Field after the All-Star break.
That's true.
So it could happen.
So a couple thoughts on this. One, I think you're wrong. I think we won't see him for 3 years. But you know this stuff more than I do. So
I'm just keeping the faith.
When I was looking through the list, I did the same thing. I saw, okay, sweet, they're coming to Seattle. I will go to that show. Whatever it takes, I'll be there. But where can I go? Where's a destination? And I'm going, where's Vegas? Where's, you know, San Diego's probably a good one. Not Oakland. You know, I've got family on the East Coast. I could round that, but I wanted like the trip. We're gonna get in the RV.
See Pearl Jam out of their element, out of Seattle.
Yes, because I've never seen that.
Same here. That's why I'm going to Vancouver to see them out of the country. Mm-hmm. Even though, oh my God, it's like only 175 miles north, but it's still
sure
out of the country.
And
I'm gonna go to Portland to see them outside of Seattle. I have family in Portland, not that far of a drive from Seattle, again, yeah. about another 75 miles.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a different experience seeing them in Portland, necessarily, than it would be seeing them for two nights in Seattle.
I think it'd be a different experience seeing them with a crowd that paid to get in.
True.
I think that would be very different.
Well, here's the thing. I'm very spoiled in a lot of shows. I mean, I've actually, you know, with Pearl Jam, I've actually bought a ticket for every show I've gone to. And because as I work as a music journalist, one of the things you do is you request access to shows, and sometimes you're lucky you get in, sometimes you don't. And I've always worked under the premise of always buy tickets to shows you want to go to. Mm-hmm. I really want to go to. So I've been lucky enough to where I've always bought tickets to see Pearl Jam, but I've also always gotten media credentials. So I'll give my ticket that's up on the 300 level or 200 level or wherever I buy my ticket to a friend,
right.
And I will go do my job as a journalist.
Right.
But when you mentioned like see them with a paying crowd, like mm-hmm. I am a paying customer.
But I think that's when I
judge shows, when I critique concerts, I think of that. Like if I paid for this, what would I think?
Mm-hmm.
Like would I have gotten my money's worth? And that's why I give positive reviews to stuff that normal people wouldn't like a Justin Bieber or something. Like, you know, you can't deny that like the crowd had a good time.
Yeah.
They put on a good show. Maybe there's some definitely social commentary or some criticism that I can put in on the musicianship, but You can't shit all over it just because it's not your type of music.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
If the people who paid enjoyed it, then the performer did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, an example I have, I just saw Huey Lewis at the Zoo, and when I first got there, it was crowded, and you could tell that it just was a mess, and they didn't have very good control of the place. And before they started, I was very frustrated. I was like, had I paid to get into this, this would be a terrible experience. But when the band hit the stage, that switch flipped, and all of a sudden the place was just excited, and they were amazing. The band was terrific. So it's a heavy burden for a band to put on a show, because getting indoor, I mean, getting the tickets, getting to the venue, getting inside to your seat is a huge pain in the ass, unless you're 20. You know, it's a fun, hey, I'm out, woo! But for old guys like me, it's a huge pain in the ass. So it's a big burden for the band to carry to make sure that all of the hassle that I've gone through is going to be worth it by the end of the night, because it will have been that unforgettable experience.
Definitely. And you definitely, that's what you go for every time you go to, like when you go to shows, you want to have that experience. That's what Pearl Jam does very, very, very well,
mm-hmm.
is that they give you an experience. I don't remember every single song the band played the last time I saw them, but I remember several of the songs. I remember where I was sitting. I remember what I was thinking. I remember what point in my life I was at when mm-hmm. I was at that show. I remember crying. I remember all kinds of things about that specific show. It wasn't even the band's best show of the tour.
Right.
You know, it was definitely the better of the two Seattle shows. The second show was the better, I think, of 2009 tour. But Pearl Jam delivers an experience, and that's what gets everybody so jacked up about, holy shit, they're touring again. And we already knew that they were going to tour.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that the announcement that was coming today was likely going to be a tour announcement. I'm kind of bummed it's not new music, but that's going to come later.
Well,
later this week.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually a confirmed by local radio station KSW 99.9 FM.
The Rock of Seattle.
The Rock of Seattle, that's right. The radio station that famously broke the news of Kurt Cobain's death on air.
Was it that? I thought it was KJR.
It was KISW, I believe. And the guy that, the carpenter, or maybe it was an electrician,
mm-hmm.
who found Kurt's body,
yeah.
who saw the tennis shoes.
Yeah, he called the radio station.
He called the radio station, and he said, you guys are going to owe me some Pink Floyd tickets for this shit. and obviously it got confirmed. But anyway, KISW, there's a show called The Men's Room that airs from 2 to 6 on weekdays, and it's totally fantastic. I highly recommend it. And at the near the end of today's show, they were joking around and they were talking about, you know, Pearl Jam and how it was so great of Pearl Jam to come on the station on Friday, July 5th to announce their tour a couple days before they made it public. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, how did I miss that? Wait,
yeah.
How did that happen? And they were talking about, oh, if you miss it during your holiday celebration, yeah, it was great. We love the Pearl Jam guys. So nice. And then I realized, oh, they're totally making fun of Pearl Jam.
Right.
And their producer, the guy named Ben the Psycho Muppet, says, actually, you know, we're going to have new Pearl Jam on later this week, on the air later this week. And I was like, oh, holy shit, that's it. There, that's what's going to happen on Thursday. There's another countdown. The countdown ended today with the announcement of the tour news, but then a brand new countdown popped up right after it ended.
Yes.
For 3 days total. And so that countdown, nobody knows what it is, but there's a good, really, really good chance that it's going to be new music, of course. And Ben mentioned that on the air. And of course, I immediately wrote something up on Gorilla Candy, sent out a tweet. It's like, confirmed, everybody, there's going to be new Pearl Jam music this week. And then I mentioned to Ben on Twitter, I was like, hey, hope you don't mind, I quoted you. And Ben tweeted me back and said, not a problem, thanks, which means he wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. So KISW has brand new Pearl Jam. They might, probably won't be getting it until Thursday, I'm guessing. Otherwise, there'd be a pretty strong possibility they would leak it. But that's really, really exciting. So there's gonna be new Pearl Jam in the world very, very soon.
I'm regretting right now that we didn't reach out to a certain contact that you and I both know that famously breaks music, because I'm betting that certain someone could have hooked us up.
I don't think so.
Really?
No. You're talking about Marco Collins,
yeah,
right? No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think they're being very, very extremely close to the vest on this.
Yeah, but he's Marco.
He is Marco. What's awesome about Marco, Marco Collins, a DJ from 107.7 The End way back in the day, back like when the station launched in 2000 or 1991-ish, he was the first person to play Beck on the air, Weezer on the air, Chemical Brothers. He broke all these bands, Garbage, in the 90s. Anyway, there's a documentary about his life that's going to be called The Glamour and the Squalor that's coming out later, maybe next year, I believe.
Yeah.
And you know who's doing the score for that movie?
Mike MacReady.
Mike MacReady is doing the score. That's so great.
Yeah.
He just announced it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you know what's even cooler about that?
Mm-mm.
Mike MacReady retweeted my news.
I saw that, yes.
You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Mike MacReady's handlers who manage his Pearl Jam, or is Mike MacReady, was it at Mike MacReady PJ, I think is his Twitter handle. I'm pretty sure it's his people who manage that. I doubt Mike MacReady is actually on Twitter.
Yeah, anyone listening to us probably already follows him.
Yeah,
anyway,
but it's really cool that, you know, that they actually went with my direct story as opposed to anything that, like, and that's as official as you can get. It is actually happening.
They could have done their own write-up wherever, but...
Yeah, and thank you, Mike MacReady's Pearl Jam Twitter handler followers,
whoever you may be,
or managers for picking up on that. I really appreciate it. Can we play the song?
I was gonna say we have the clip that we think may be the first taste.
Yeah, let's play this. Let's play this like five times in a row or something. You know when Daft Punk released their commercial for Get Lucky, commercial.
I'm so not into them.
So SNL played a Daft Punk commercial back in March, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, Daft Punk!" And it was like 10 seconds of music. Somebody looped that for like 10 minutes and put it on YouTube, and it was the best thing ever. Everybody loved it. They need to do that for this.
Well, I could do that.
Yeah.
Here we go. There you go.
So good. Like, that's like Brain of Jay, Do the Evolution, Spin the Black Circle. Like, that's like that kind of, like, Supersonic. That's like that kind of tempo. A little bit slowed down, but it's very, like, it's driving.
Yeah, heavy and driving.
It's driving, which is... I am gonna love that song. Oh, so great.
Should we compare it to Olay?
Let's compare it to
Olay. Let me see if I can find that really quick.
What to say, Olay? Is that the lyric, I think?
I think so. This is how I first experienced it.
You feel the energy. You feel the energy right now. You can feel it. Our next guest are celebrating a big anniversary this fall with a Captain Crow soundtrack, all entitled Pearl Jam 20. They have a brand new song called Olay that will be available on the web tonight for free, but they're about to play it for the first time right here. Please welcome Pearl Jam!
This is Jimmy Fallon, obviously.
It's not bad. So far.
Yeah, so it's got that same driving, heavy drums are beating you over the head. What you say when your life ends? What you gonna say, Ole? What you say, what can you say of importance? What you gonna say, Ole? What you say when the stupid things are brilliant? What you gonna say, Ole? We didn't hear much of this song after that night.
No, actually, it became a tour staple.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, no, they played it on their South American tour. They played it, I don't know if they played it recently when they did Lollapalooza Brazil, Argentina, but it did become a part of the live show. They incorporated it into their live sets, unfortunately. You know, I'm sure it fits in live. It's got to have a different energy than the actual single.
And it was very new even to them. Maybe they've honed it, refined it.
It
doesn't work for me.
It doesn't fit very well in the Pearl Jam canon. It's not as bad as like Sexy Mop or, well, I don't know, there are other Pearl Jam songs I don't like.
Certainly not this.
I want this in my theme music, just this 10 seconds. Like every time I walk into a room.
You literally melted into your chair as soon as I played that the first time.
I did. Did you see? My eyes rolled back into my head, and I was like, oh, my God, give me more. Oh.
So that's the big news there. So we got the new tour info, new music coming out. So by the time you're hearing this, you're probably 24 hours away or so from hearing a new Pearl Jam song.
Roughly, yeah. You know, this should be, if we play our cards right, I don't want to promise anything on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should be
something like that.
It should be this. You'll hear this podcast if you're listening intently for Pearl Jam news before you hear the new Pearl Jam song, I think.
If we do our jobs.
Yes.
If I get you the file in time.
Yes.
All right. So what else have we got? Oh, I did want to mention, since the news broke today, I was looking at Rolling Stone for some reason. And they've got a pretty cool kind of history of Pearl Jam. You can kind of go through and look all the way back to the 90s of different articles they've written, different artwork, photos, all sorts of really cool stuff. I was just scanning through and I found myself getting hypnotized and lost in this maze of
You got stuck in a Pearl Jam internet hole.
I did. I went down that rabbit hole.
That happens to me quite a bit.
It was crazy. Like all this old stuff that
YouTube,
I'd forgotten.
It happens a lot. Like,
you can
find like the band's 1992 concert at the Mural Amphitheater on YouTube. Like all of it, you can find their first show, the Mookie Blaylock shows on YouTube, and you can just. I mean, they're not the best quality, but you can find all kinds of crazy shit like that's just available.
Well, you sent me something today that sent me down another rabbit hole, and it was the song that I guess appeared on one of the Christmas records.
Oh yeah. Fuck me in the brain or my brain. So, small story behind this, my story about discovering it like 2 years ago. I didn't know this song existed, but I had it on vinyl for years, which is really funny. Because I never listened to the B-side of my Pearl Jam vinyl, of my Christmas single from 94, Angel. But I saw it on a Pearl Jam boot at Easy Street Records, and I was like, I'd never seen this song before, and I brought it over to the station, listened to it. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Eddie says the C word, and then said, what is this?
Filthy.
But it was like $20 for the boot. And I was like, is $20, is that really worth one song? You know, can I justify $20 to buy just a CD for one song?
Right.
And so it was testing my fandom a little bit. I tweeted about it. Then people were telling me like, yeah, you didn't know the song existed. And everybody was giving me shit because I was like, okay, fine.
You're not a real fan, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't go to Wrigley. You don't know this song exists.
Yeah.
Why are you doing a podcast about it?
Don't get me started on that. Because we actually got some feedback there that maybe we can talk about later.
Oh, I would love to.
So, but anyway, it's on my list.
Okay. I want to hear what that is. That's new to me.
We'll get there.
Cool.
But so I tweeted about it, and then I got a random email, or maybe it was a direct message from a Twitter follower in Canada, and I am forgetting her name.
Sandy.
Sweetheart of a lady, very nice woman. Okay. She was like, hey, I have a bootleg of that. Did you want me to send it to you? And I was like, oh, awesome. The bootleg was on VHS
of the
entire show. It's when the band played Indio, California, the Polo Grounds in 1993, maybe, which is where Coachella takes place. So they played Coachella before Coachella. And so she sent me a VHS boot of the entire show. which I've watched twice. It's kind of cool just to have in the background. It's really bad, really
shaky,
crummy
VHS
quality.
Yeah.
It's like somebody recorded one of those giant machines that's like the size of a Sherman tank that you put on your shoulder, you know?
Right.
One of those giant like they'd use for TV news.
Totally.
So I watched it and I thought it was great, and then I realized I have this on vinyl. And so yeah, Fuck Me in My Brain. It's a very volatile song. It was a jam. It was a loose jam. It's Angry Eddie, which is why you should like it. You love Angry Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up calling the show the Shoeless Show, which because I guess it got muddy or dirty or something in Indio. And people just started throwing their shoes at the band.
Yeah, see, I wasn't clear when I was reading the background on this. It just said the fans started throwing shoes, and it wasn't clear if they were mad at the band or the band got angry and that set them off. But apparently it had more to do with the muddy ground.
I don't know. I couldn't really see the ground in the video. And the video, that you might be able to see it better. But people just started throwing shoes, and you can see, like, Jeff hiding behind the drum stand.
Yeah, no, they
And
totally
you can see,
duck.
Like, everybody getting out of the way. At the very end of the song, Eddie's like, I'm going to take every single one of any one of you fuckers that I see barefooted that leaving here. Me and Jeff Amon are going to beat the shit out of you.
Well, let's listen to a little bit, and I'll try and find that portion of the video.
Stop it!
Totally reminds me of Henry Rollins.
Very, I'm a liar.
Yes. Yeah,
well, it's like it's Angry Eddie, and it's also, it's very, like, Bugs-ish, like, Rats kind of. I mean, the groove is great.
Yeah.
But, like, there's obviously a reason why they never released this.
Exit, we're gonna beat the shit out of every barefoot person here.
That's when you run and find shoes. Because when you're watching Pearl Jam, and Eddie's he's in the 93, so he's a bulky guy, kind of. You know, he's intimidating. Could be, with his long hair, grungy, angry, you know.
yeah,
angry,
but he's like
angry, but he's
five,
like 5'2". So he's yeah. not really that big. So but you don't know that when you're watching him on stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when he's angry and yelling "fuck me in my brain."
Yeah.
And what's of note on the vinyl, they actually beep out the C word.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
on the test pressing, supposedly that C word is not beeped out.
Okay.
And then when they went to ship it, Sony's like, no, you cannot ship this.
Well, I guess the story that I read about it too is they were the band was kind of going through some tracks, I guess, from this show and maybe a few others, and trying to decide what to put on the Christmas single. And when they got to this one, Stone or somebody made a joke that was like, "Well, I guess we found our Christmas single," and everyone kind of laughed, but did the like, "Of course, this is the one we're going to do." Like, how does that get on the Christmas album?
It's one of my most cherished Pearl Jam collector possessions. Like, I love Angel. We discussed this on episode two. That you know, it's my favorite Pearl Jam song. I'm happy to have that made me having. I'll never get rid of that 7-inch.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing like a couple of years ago when I discovered that this song was the B-side, I was like, oh my God, this is so great.
You know, I think I have that vinyl too, and I don't think I knew that I had this. I'm gonna have to look when I get home.
Yeah, it's a very much a rare gem. And if I ever get the opportunity to create a set list for Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's going on there.
That's definitely hitting the mark somewhere.
This sent me down a rabbit hole though, because there was all these like Christmas greetings from the band.
Oh.
And there's, you know, Matt and everybody, "Hey, it's Matt Cameron, I'm the drummer of Pearl Jam. Hey, we love you guys, you're the best. We love being in the band, yada, yada, yada." And then it gets to, like, it's gone through just about everybody. And then it cuts to a guy in the Lucha Libre, like the Mexican wrestler mask.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm really exhausted. I'm really tired. Merry Christmas." And then he takes the mask off and it's Eddie and he's more sincere. But just weird videos that, like, you'll just go down these bizarre rabbit holes.
Well, what's really interesting with Pearl Jam that's happening right now, I almost feel like they're trolling their fans a little bit. They're definitely stoking the fire. They're like with the countdown, with, you know, the countdown is on. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, something's happening." And now that the countdown's been released and they go to a new countdown, they just sent out a tweet earlier today and it says, "Don't it make you smile?" Did it say that? I think it said, "Don't it make you smile?" Or maybe that was somebody else who retweeted Pearl Jam, but they tweeted a picture. They changed their Twitter background to being just blank white, and they tweeted a picture. And the picture is of what looks like a knob with a half crescent moon, like looks like almost like an indent in it.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at it now.
But it's very nondescript. It looks like they're probably going to reveal something. Like maybe they'll be tweeting multiple images. Maybe that you put it together to be a collage.
Yeah.
Who knows exactly what it is? They also, what's interesting is that they deleted their Flickr account.
Hmm.
Pearl Jam's Flickr was excellent. I used it quite a bit to get to download official images of the band for when I'd write about Pearl Jam. Now it's gone. Like I went to access it today to put up posts to use some of Karen Loria's or any other band or official band photographer, use some of their images to put to make my words look prettier, because that's what photos do. They enhance words.
That image you're talking about, by the way, is on the front page of pearljam.com now.
Very interesting.
It rotates between that and the tour announcement.
Yeah. So they quit Flickr, because I went to go to flickr.com/pearljamofficial, said this user no longer exists.
I wonder if it's because of their Instagram.
It's got to be. But
there's not even, there's no link. There's a link to their Instagram on their site.
Well, what's strange is Flickr just went to free. So you don't have to pay money to have, you know, gigs of photos on Flickr anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine for the copyright purposes, for protection of the images, I always give credit when I post images, but maybe other people don't. It's easier to do Instagram.
Yeah.
Because you can have a professional photographer shoot Instagram and upload to Instagram and get really great results. And that way, as opposed to having somebody upload to Flickr and have those pictures available in the raw file sizes.
Yeah.
You know, where you could print out posters or do whatever you wanted with like official Pearl Jam images.
I wonder, maybe Flickr's just not getting the traffic though.
It's possible.
I don't know.
I mean, they got a lot of traffic for me all the time. So. I take up a lot of the internet traffic on my own.
What was I going to ask you? So I'm curious. We don't have to go there yet if you don't want to, but you said we got some feedback.
Yeah, we've gotten some good and bad feedback. We mentioned last episode we gave a little bit of a shout out to to some listeners and some people who sent us compliments via mail. And I also wanted to give another compliment. Let's see if I can find it. From the sky I scrape. I forwarded this to you as well.
Yes.
So before we go to the negative, let's start with positive.
Let's start with what we're doing
and
right.
And it's not negative. It's just constructive criticism.
Oh, okay. I'll take
that. And I'll have to remember it off the top of my head because I didn't write it down necessarily. It says Brandon from the Sky I Scrape, which is a Pearl Jam fan site. Just want to tell you that I finally checked out the Pearl Jam podcast. It's outstanding, in all caps.
Yeah, it is.
It's everything I would have done if I had the time and skills to create a podcast. We've been missing something like this for a very long time. Please keep it up. I intend to make a post on our website each time you release a new episode. If there's anything I can do to help or promote the show, please let me know. Keep it up.
Well, that's very generous of them to say so.
And coming from someone who runs a Pearl Jam fan site, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Because we're doing this for Pearl Jam fans as Pearl Jam fans.
Totally.
And we're doing it for the fan community. And to have someone who's also contributing to the fan community, I guess a colleague in the fan community?
Sure.
Telling us they enjoy what we're doing and they'd like us to continue, that means quite a bit.
You know what else we've been missing in the Pearl Jam world?
What?
This. Yeah, we've been missing that.
That's been missing for quite a while.
So there's more of that coming.
Is that the fifth time we've played it, I think?
I don't know. I'm going to try and go for 10.
that's let's do it. I'll start my Eddie voice like.
It is kind of contagious. L is for lobby, or it could be for love.
And then it goes up and down. So the constructive criticism we received. There's
you can't even air drum.
I'm so excited. I air drum. So the constructive criticism.
So wait, somebody had something constructive, something negative, something that we're not doing quite so well.
Some feedback.
I want to hear what that is.
Less than positive. Would you like to know today's fun fact?
Yes, I would.
Fun fact for the day is that when Pearl Jam plays at Key Arena on December 6th of 2013, it will have been 1,537 days since their last performance in Seattle.
That's too many days.
That is more than 4 years, my friend.
That's too long.
I'm pretty sure it's more than 4 years.
See, now we're going to get letters about that.
Shit.
All right, well, let's get to the negative. God. Let's get to the...
Oh, speaking of letters.
Yes.
Before we go there. You know how we keep asking listeners, like, if we get something wrong...
Oh, yeah. Have we been corrected?
We've been corrected.
Fabulous.
Yes. So I corrected you a while back when you couldn't remember the song that Chris Cornell did on singles.
Seasons.
Yes, but I told you it was Sun Showers.
That was the one on his solo album many years later.
Euphoria Morning, I believe. Yes. So we got a correction on that. A correction of my correction of you.
Right, because I was wrong, and then I couldn't even remember what it was. You gave me the wrong title, but the listener has informed us that it was Seasons.
Correct.
The one I was looking for.
Yes.
Still one of my favorite songs.
And then not only did he comment once, he commented right after it, and he said, dyslexia is a motherfucker. I was like, yes, that is musical dyslexia. That is correct.
Totally
I have way too much Chris Cornell in my brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because obviously.
Musical dyslexia. That's what I'm going to name my band.
Yeah. Yes, but spell it wrong.
Totally.
Like maskical dyslexia.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So there's a well-regarded Pearl Jam fan site that offers bootlegs of just about anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like official releases that aren't released, like Christmas singles and Eddie doing Wish You Were Here with Roger Waters for the 12/12/12 benefit. Stuff like that. It's called Grammy.net.
Okay.
And they posted on their Facebook page, has anybody listened to the Travis's Evil Little Goats podcast? What do you think? And I was like, this will be interesting. So I click like, right? So I'd follow the updates.
Sure.
And the first comment, don't remember who it was, but it was like, it's totally horrible. Well, I didn't say that. It was in a nutshell. I don't like it. They're not fans. The first person, they even say that that somebody doesn't even know 90% of the music, 90% of the band's music. I don't want to listen to somebody who only talks about 10. Now, that in reference was, and this is after our second episode, I think, so the first episode was fresh in my brain, was in reference to a comment that you made that you couldn't name probably 90% of their material after 10.
I couldn't name but song titles.
Song titles, yeah, right. Yeah. So I immediately was like, oh, well, this isn't good. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just like put it in context, because if these people want to know what the and it was our first or second episode, right. So I'm like, you can't really judge us based on that.
Right, but now we've done now five we've and done, a half.
Yeah.
So by all means, let the judgment pour upon us.
Yes. So I put it in context. Here's Jeremy's complete quote. I was like, we were explaining what type of fans we are and like our level of fandom and how we're not like super geeky like obsessed fans where we know everything about the band. We admit that.
Right.
It's like Jeremy's saying that, you know, your comment was, I love this band. I have, you know, I don't even know the songs I have, but I have these, I have emotional attachments to all of them. I listen to them over and over, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, you were gushing about how much you love the band, but you don't necessarily know everything about the band.
Right.
So I was a little, so I put that in context. And then there's a music journalist, I guess call him a journalist. No, he's a blogger. He's a writer. He's well regarded. His name is Johnny Firecloud. I don't know if that's his real name, but
I hope it is.
So do I. He goes by Johnny Firecloud. He writes about Queens of the Stone Age and a bunch of other awesome bands for Anti-Quiet, which is a really well liked hard rock blog. They cover Pearl Jam obsessively. Johnny has a strong connection with Pearl Jam. As far as like emotional, I don't know how connected
he is,
but he's a big fan. And he's like, I'm listening now. So I liked his status. I was like, okay, I'd really be curious to know what Johnny's feedback is, because I respect Johnny. I like Johnny. I would actually like to have Johnny on the show.
Yeah, totally.
I was going to reach out to him, but I totally just forgot. And I didn't feel like playing troll, like commenting on every comment. And Johnny's comment was that it's well-intended, but it's unnecessary.
I'd agree with that.
And he said that he was talking about like how like he likes me, he knows it's coming from a good place. He's talking about me specifically because we've had interactions on Twitter and such. And he says that it's unnecessary because there's so many people out there that like have these very strong connections to the band that are going to get nothing out of this podcast. There's like nothing that people can't find on the forums. It's nothing that a novice fan wouldn't know. And you know,
sure.
That's totally legit, and I would love to, like something I want to eventually get this show to evolve to, and we've talked about this, is to where we have regular guests and where we have fans and maybe not fans, like people that just know about the band, that have connections to talk about their fandom and why they're such big fans, because I feel like that's a big part of the community. So that was kind of, like I said, it's constructive criticism, not necessarily negative, but there is somebody who will never listen to us. And that, well, two, I guess Johnny probably wouldn't listen. But
sure.
But yeah.
But I would argue that you could that is the write-up for every podcast that exists. Not one of them is necessary. It's just one more place where people can go to be connected to the community that enjoys a thing. There's the Talking Dead for The Walking Dead. Completely unnecessary. If I watch the show, I don't need the show where they talk about what happened on the episode, because as it turns out, I saw it, you know? So I don't think that we set out in any way to be the pipeline to new underground information, songs you never heard. Like, that's not what we're here to do.
Right.
We're just here to share our experience with people that have had similar experiences, to offer them a way to be connected in another way.
Yeah, definitely. And we want to voice our opinions on the band and share things that we think about the band and what we like, dislike, and what we've heard about the band and like you said, share our experiences with others, and maybe evolve to where other people can share their experience with us too. And that way it becomes, and then those experiences and some can be shared with the entire community if the community wants to listen to them.
Right. And if they don't, then we'll probably still keep doing it anyways, because it's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Now we're getting a little short on time. We've got a couple things left to play. You actually went to the Mike McCready playing the national anthem at the baseball game with the Mariners. Do you want to do that now, or should we talk about you've got an agenda over there that
I've got a couple of notes, and I think we've touched on everything just about. I'm really curious to get your thoughts on how the band is handling this publicity. I kind of alluded to it a little bit when we talked about like the kind of mysterious things they're doing, because they're in an era where like they're not beholden to a label, so they don't have to do like the typical promotion if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But they also we're in a like just this year alone, you've got Daft Punk, which kind of created this guerrilla campaign where they just gave the fans the content and the fans did what they wanted. You've got Kanye West, who's projecting songs on buildings across the world. You've got Jay-Z, who's dropping an album via a privacy invading Samsung app. You've got Justin Timberlake, who's just all of a sudden, oh, I'm releasing a record, and David Bowie doing the same thing. So you've got all these different methods of like it's a whole new paradigm for how music is being given to people. I'm wondering what you think of how the band's doing what they're doing now, and maybe what we can kind of speculate as to what they will do, because as of this moment when we're talking, there's still no new music. There's still like there's just a tour announcement. Obviously, people aren't dumb. You know, Pearl Jam's not disputing the fact there's going to be a new album.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this whole rigmarole that Pearl Jam's involved in?
I think it's kind of typical of them. It's overly secretive, but they're kind of beating you over the head with the fact that they're being overly secretive about what they're doing with the big Facebook, the countdown. Hey, something's coming. It's going to be a thing. Just wait. It's going to be a thing.
We're not telling you what it is.
Not going to tell you.
But wait. Maybe it'll be more dog collars.
But, I mean, you got to do something. You got to build the hype a little bit. So, I mean, I guess I don't blame them. And they're doing it through all the social networking stuff, which is smart. I mean, the hype with the on the building and the download with the app. And I think those guys are trying to just be way too hip for the room. But I think, I don't think they're doing anything abnormal. I would be surprised if they didn't have... I mean, we know the album's done. We've visited that. So I wouldn't be surprised to find out that it's streaming on their site for 24 hours where you can listen to the whole thing, and then it'll be available, you know, on vinyl and CD and MP3s and all that within, you know, a day or two. Although if anyone has a computer these days, you'll just record the live stream off the website. But I think it's kind of standard issue them. I'm not surprised by anything that they've been doing, which is why I guess I haven't been quite as sucked in. When I heard about the countdown, I was like, okay, well, in 4 days or whatever, I'm going to know whatever this is. So I don't need to be digging around. I'll just turn on Twitter that day, and there it is. There's the new album. There's the tour or whatever.
I took that same approach, but I also checked the forums every other day or so, just like, oh.
Yeah, but you do that anyways.
That Pearl Jam countdown's happening. I wonder if anybody has any actual legit news.
Right.
Because there's no, like, because today, this morning at, like, 9:42 a.m. Pacific time or something,
mm-hmm.
like, roughly 20 minutes-ish before the actual press release came out, it was leaked on the forum. Somebody put it on the forum.
Yeah.
And it was under embargo. So I was excited to see that. And I had it posted on my website within like a minute or 2 minutes, like 10:02 or something.
But you also are a music journalist,
right,
who covers the Seattle music scene, who is an obsessive Pearl Jam fan. Like,
fair enough.
Those are things that I would expect anyone to do. But anyone in your position to do. To the casual music observer, I'm going to find out when I see, oh, there's a countdown, and I'm going to go, oh, you know, I was going to wake up today and go, oh, wasn't that thing supposed to be today?
Yeah.
You know,
today was like Christmas for me, man. Serious. You know how I told you like earlier, I was so jazzed and so pumped. Like I got to work. I got up at like 6:30 in the morning and I checked because I got up for work. And then I was like, okay, I got to check and see what's going on. What's happening on Twitter? What's happened? Somebody had to have leaked this by now. And there was nothing. And I got to work at 9 o'clock and I was like, oh man, is it 10 o'clock yet? Is it 10 o'clock yet? And I was
so... You're emailing me. Are we doing the podcast tonight? Because we got to talk about this. This is the biggest thing in the world.
Exactly. I was so like,
oh, that's so funny.
Like, it's just so, like, I don't know. There's
You're
just,
such a better fan than I am.
I'm just really excited about this. I don't get I get excited about music. Don't get me wrong. I have emotional connection to a lot of music. But there's so much music out there, it's hard to get for me to get excited
about.
I get really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite band doesn't release music all the time.
Right.
And my favorite band is a lot of people's favorite band. But at the same time, my favorite band was forgotten like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So for this to happen, it's like, oh my God, it's fucking, it's Travis Christmas. You know?
There's a show title.
Like, I'm still really excited about it. Like I said, I kept trying to figure out where I was going to go, how I was going to get there, what I was going to do.
Right.
Like, my wife and I already have plans to go to Vancouver. Wow. I was kind of scared to send her the mail, but I was really excited about it. And I was like, because she sent me like a, hey, my day at work's going great, you know, such and such email, like, have fun podcasting tonight. And I was like, oh. You mentioned podcasting. I was like, yeah, hey.
By the way,
Pearl Jam, just what are you doing November 29th and on December 4th? Like, I really want to go see Pearl Jam in Vancouver. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, wow. Oh, my God, that you're amazing.
That's awesome.
This is the same woman who in 2002, maybe it was 2000, and I took her to see Pearl Jam at the Key. She fell asleep.
Oh.
It was 2000. It was November 2000. Might have been December.
Wow.
We were way up top, and she fell asleep. And it wasn't a bad show. She was just tired.
So when you go, will you be on the floor, or are you going to be in the seats?
No, I'm a seats guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm a seats guy. I love the fans, and I want to be with the fans.
But I want to sit down.
But I want to sit down. Yeah. Really interesting. A half to a third of the floor is going to be GA. And that's the entire floor, but because like depending on fire code, you can only put so much of a percentage of the floor,
mm-hmm.
like at Key Arena or other places, you have to have a specific amount of personal space per person. So typically that's about a third of the floor, maybe half the floor at Key Arena.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we saw Pearl Jam at Key Arena, the floors were seats.
Yeah.
And the time before that were seats. Every single
time.
Was
it all the way up to the front?
Almost, I believe. But every time I've seen Pearl Jam at the Key, it's been seats. The floor.
Really?
And so I don't know if this is going to be changed or not, but in the on the press release or on the Pearl Jam's website, it says that half to a third of the floor will be standing general admission. There will also be seats in the lower bowl, good seats available for 10 club members. So when you're entering lottery to buy tickets,
uh-huh.
You either enter the lottery for GA floor or GA seats.
Interesting.
I thought ever since the Roskilde Festival. That when 9 people died,
yeah.
I thought that they stopped doing floor. I thought that it was always seats.
See, I don't remember the last time I saw them at the Key without seats on the floor was the no code deal when they put it on themselves.
Hmm.
When they didn't go through Ticketmaster. Was that the no code?
I don't
show?
Know.
I don't remember.
It was versus Vitalogy when they did it by themselves.
Okay. Well, that was the one. I remember that one specifically, that there were no seats on the floor.
Was that the one where you cried where the guy was on stage alive? Yeah, that would have probably been Vitalogy era, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, after that, now that you say that, I do remember seeing some, but it seems like... I guess I just don't remember.
And what's really interesting also in the lottery drawing for fan clubs, it says that in Philadelphia, LA, and in Brooklyn, there are two shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that those are markets where they have more fans than they can offer tickets. Now, where is there not a second show announced yet?
Yeah, here.
In Seattle. Now, to be fair, there's strong reports of a second show being added December 7th.
Right.
Whether or not that'll happen. You have to wait for official word, but...
Well, and again, how many free shows do you want to put on in your hometown?
Yeah, but still, when I read that, I was like, oh, man, why do you have to say it like that? Like, you can just say we're doing two shows. They don't even have to say that, like, I don't know why it was mentioned. It was mentioned for some reason with the ticketing. But uh-huh. I was like, you don't have to say that, like, we have more tickets or we have more fans than we can offer tickets in these specific,
so that jerks like me wouldn't go,
markets.
How come you're playing two there and only one here?
Or people in Charleston, South Carolina, like, we only get one show. What are you saying? They're not enough Pearl Jam fans to do two shows? You know, it's kind of makes
sense.
Yeah, you could say they're more populated. L.A., Philly, New York.
Yeah.
Bigger population.
Right.
You could say that.
Or just not say anything. Just go...
Yeah,
we're,
or just
we're
say
playing
this,
where
this,
we want to.
Yeah, this is how we're doing it. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, that's
well. And I mean, okay. So if we're gonna circle back to the venues, to the unique venues, I think isn't it Mudhoney is gonna play on top of the Space Needle?
Yes, on Friday.
Come on,
on the 12th.
Mudhoney is playing the Space Needle.
Yes. How great is that?
And we're going to Key.
for Pearl Jam.
Yeah, well, they're not even playing. They're not playing the observation deck, mind you.
Right, right.
They're playing the top of the Space Needle, you know, like in harnesses.
Yeah.
You know, like that's hardcore. And they're not playing just like one song. I've heard they're playing like a set.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be broadcast on the radio.
I was going to say, because they're not playing in front of a. They're not bringing fans up on top of the Space Needle.
No.
This is going to be for broadcast consumption somewhere.
I assume it's being broadcast on KEXP if it's going to be broadcast anywhere.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because I can't think of any
How
other
cool
stations
is that,
to play
though?
That. Yeah, that's amazing. Why couldn't Pearl Jam have done that for their 20th?
Yeah.
I mean, the Space Needle would have easily flew a Pearl Jam flag.
Totally.
A little stick man.
Come on.
Flying across the top of the needle. They did it for Macklemore. They did it for Sub Pop's 20th.
Right.
They could do it for Pearl Jam.
Just give me Safeco.
Yeah.
Give me Safeco.
Yeah, you keep dreaming there, buddy.
Well, you saw one of them play at Safeco.
I did, and it was Mike McCready bobblehead night. It was fantastic. Mike did the national anthem or Star Spangled Banner, which interchangeable, I suppose. And he kind of did it in his little Hendrix style. It was nice. And watching him on the video screen, I've seen Mike several times at different performances the past, I guess, 1,386 days since he's played with Pearl Jam in Seattle. He's probably the member I've seen most, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's just everywhere.
Yeah.
I believe he's going to be performing with Peter Frampton at the Tulalip Casino, maybe?
What?
Either Tulalip or which one's on Issaquah, I-90? Is that Snoqualmie?
Snoqualmie, yeah.
I think it's Peter Frampton performing with special guests. And
they're
Mike
not ready for the
Mike
casino
McCready
tour.
Is
Come
performing
on.
With them. And then there's another one. Oh, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So it's like a Guitar Legends tour, I believe. But anyway, I noticed Mike has really, really, really gray hair.
I was just going to mention this.
Like, out of all of the, like, Stone's got gray hair, Jeff's got a gray goatee, he's got some gray, Matt doesn't have any gray that I notice.
Yeah.
Ed probably dyes his hair.
Well, and I think Mike was. He had some pretty black hair.
Yeah, no, Mike
black
was, Mike was doing, well, and
while.
Mike was doing the pink mohawks, and, like, he was, you know, he was platinum blonde for a little while, I believe. Maybe that was Ed I'm thinking about. But anyway.
Yeah, he went platinum.
Mike's gray now, which makes me feel a little old, but I'm very gray, too, so.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, so it's weird to see him this gray. But so we have a clip of the national anthem performance.
Yeah, let's.
This was June 28th. Should we save it? Actually, I mean we're
kind of done.
We're kind of done.
I mean it's close enough to done.
So perhaps we say goodbye and go out with this.
Yeah, thanks for listening. This has been Evil Little Goats, episode 6.
Yeah, and you might know if you've been following us in our long history. We've been doing shorter shows more frequently. I think we're gonna give you a longer show more infrequently.
Gonna go every other weekish.
Yeah.
Bi-monthly.
And if there's big breaking news, you know, we'll drop everything.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come in and give you our take on whatever.
Yeah, but you can definitely keep looking on GorillaCandy.com for Pearl Jam updates. That's kind of where most of the stuff will be, regardless. And you know, thanks for listening.
And I don't care what the critics say. We are necessary.
I'm necessary.
I'm necessary.
I think you're necessary. All right. So. And feel free to, as always, contact us, evillittlegoatscast@gmail.com. So.
Yeah, and your website, GorillaCandy.com, and then mine, if you're into just more complete nonsense that has very little to do with Pearl Jam, if anything. My other podcast is thesiblingrivalry.com.
And if you're in the Seattle area, is it April, August 3rd?
August, oh, yeah, we're going to pimp that,
August
yes.
3rd, yes.
August 3rd, we have a big listener party. Many, many podcasts are going in on it. If you're familiar with me and my other show, we've been friends with a lot of other shows in the area, a lot of Seattle podcasts, Air Raid, Grapes of Rad, Stack of Dimes, The Mixtape. Many of you might be aware of that one. We get together. This will be our second annual big listener party. It's at Naked City Brewery in Greenwood. We're going to get there around 5:00. They've got a cool new outdoor beer garden where we'll be having a few beers and just meeting fans. And if you were there last year, you don't remember much of it because it gets out of hand.
Go and have a beer, have a chat with Jeremy, say hi. And
yeah, but don't criticize me and my Pearl Jam knowledge because I won't have any idea what you're talking
about.
This
is not intended to be a podcast of how great of a fan we are of other people. So.
Yeah. All right, Mike McCready, take us out.
Please welcome Pearl Jam guitarist Mike McCready. Mike McCready, ladies and gentlemen.